There's a history of racist myths in the United States that diseases associated with Asia are especially dangerous. Sociologists say that's one reason why politicians have used Asian communities as scapegoats for public health emergencies. WSHU's Cassandra Basler explains how racism and xenophobia hindered disease prevention and treatment in the past, and how it affects coronavirus in the present.
Most people think of the bubonic plague as the disease that killed a third of Europe's population back in the Middle Ages, but it's still around.
Plague never really went away.
David Randall is a reporter and author of the history book, Black Death at the Golden Gate. He describes how the plague killed more than 7 million people in Asia and the Pacific Islands in the late 1800s, when modern global shipping began.
And then it was only a matter of time before it reached San Francisco.
In March of 1900, a Chinese day laborer named Wan Chut King was close to death. But roommates at his crowded boarding house in San Francisco couldn't take him to a hospital.
In Chinatown at the time, there was rampant anti-Asian bigotry, something that would be akin to, you know, African Americans in the South.
Meaning places like schools were segregated by law. So on his deathbed, King went to a place called a coffin shop instead.
It was very hard for the Chinese community, especially, to get things like death certificates, to access public health, access doctors. Coffin shops really were the last resort. People would take people who were either dead or dying there and just wait for them to die.
King passed away without comfort from friends or family. A coroner came to the shop to issue a death certificate and examine King's body.
And then he notices there is a bubo, which is a swollen lymph node in the groin or armpit. And this is what bubonic plague, this is how it gets its name. So he sees this and he's terrified. He knows what it is. So he calls for a quarantine right away.
The quarantine only covered Chinatown. It lasted 2 days. No one believed public health officials that the plague had arrived.
There's a racial aspect to it as well. People in Chinatown don't want to admit that plague is there because it seems to confirm all of the worst stereotypes about Asian immigrants. That, you know, they bring disease, that it's a dirty place, that it's unhygienic, all of those things.
And local politicians issued denials to comfort the white majority.
It was literally considered an Asian disease that no other communities needed to worry about. And that's what made it so deadly in many ways.
Plus, Randall says the public health director, Dr. Joseph Kenyon, was scorned by his bosses. Kenyon tried to develop a vaccine and quarantine the state, but the governor of California called him names in the newspapers.
He started calling him suspicious Kenyon or lying Kenyon.
Kenyon was fired. His successor, Dr. Rupert Blue, started to look beyond Chinatown. He traced the plague to Italian and Portuguese communities, which were also near the city's shipping port. The victims hadn't been in contact with Chinese residents. Blue discovered the disease actually spread through fleas on rats, which roamed freely across neighborhoods.
Doctors started coming up to Rupert Blue and saying, admitting for the first time, you know, I've had white patients who have had this disease, and I was just calling it a form of pneumonia, or I was calling it something else. And this is the first time people say, you know, plague has been devastating the city for a long time, and no one ever wanted to admit it.
6 years after Wan Chut King died of the bubonic plague, San Francisco finally established a citywide public health response. But it took the earthquake of 1906. Rats ran amok after the destruction. Officials had to get rid of them, and it meant cleaning the streets. This led to the creation of modern urban sanitation, like street sweeps and trash collection. Randall says he sees history repeating itself with the delay in fighting COVID-19.
There's denialism. There's this idea that it's outsiders who are bringing these diseases to us as opposed to what can we do to prevent a disease.
That fear of outsiders is xenophobia. Grace Cao is a sociologist at Yale in New Haven, Connecticut. She says Asian Americans face xenophobia because no matter how many decades or generations their communities have been in the U.S., they are considered forever foreigners.
It's not really a new thing. It's not as if, you know, the Asian Americans were just seen as regular people before this and suddenly they're seen as foreign.
Cao says today's xenophobia is part of a centuries-long history of anti-Asian racism, like in World War II when the U.S. government forced Japanese Americans into internment camps. Today, American politicians still talk about China like it's the enemy. Cao says it's easy for the public to then blame the pandemic on anyone who may look Chinese. And news reports about Chinese markets selling bats makes things worse.
They put people who look like me, you know, at real physical risk because people read those stories and then they look up and there's someone who's Asian, who's in a store, and suddenly there's feelings of, oh my God, they're carrying this disease. They're not hygienic. They're eating strange animals.
Cao says she, thankfully, has not heard of any physical assaults where she lives in Connecticut compared to California or New York. But there are incidents that are still worrying. Dr. Christine Wan volunteers to work in the medical intensive care unit at Yale New Haven Hospital. She told me about a hike she took with her two young daughters on one of her days off.
There were quite a few people on the trail, but, you know, people were responsible. We were all wearing our masks, trying to stay socially distant.
Wan says fellow hikers passed with a wave or a nod, and they kept to a 6-foot buffer zone. Then Wan saw a young couple walking her way with a little boy. They were not wearing masks.
And we saw them coming from away. So, you know, they were doing that whole kind of little dance with each group that they met. But when they came to us, they literally ran up the hill and they put their T-shirts over their face, which they weren't doing with the other people before us. And then the young kid, the boy, was saying, oh, they're so disgusting.
The adults didn't apologize. They went on their way.
You know what? I actually had a flash of things I wanted to say, but I didn't say. Like, you know, I looked at them and I say, my God, do you know that I take care of people that are not of my race every day who have COVID virus? I have not taken care of a single Asian person. I spend all day taking care of people like you who are not wearing masks, who could be very much in my ICU tomorrow.
Instead of confronting those parents, Wan had to discuss racism with her kids. The kind of discussion Asian American and Pacific Islander families have about racist incidents in school and in public. Advocates warn these discussions will become more common as people leave quarantine.
I mean, obviously it's not the first time I've been faced with racism. I think this is a form of racism. But what upset me most was that my children were there. I'm getting emotional. And my 10-year-old daughter, oh my God, turns around and says to me, wait, why are they saying that to us? Are they saying that because we're Asian? And then my daughter says, we're not even Chinese. And I said, I know, but it shouldn't even matter.
They went along the trail. Wan says her daughter seemed fine. She thought about it more than they did.
Mostly I felt really sad, and I felt more sorry for that young child, that 6, 7, 8-year-old boy, who I thought, my God, you know, the adults are one thing, but I thought, my God, this is how they're bringing up their child. That's really scary.
Wan says she thinks President Donald Trump talks about COVID-19 like it's some kind of Chinese conspiracy when he calls it the Kung Flu. At a press conference during protests of the police killing of George Floyd, Trump said a strong economy is the best thing for race relations. Then he blamed the stalled economy on, quote, the China plague. Cassandra Basler, WSHU News.
Cassandra's story is part of the WSHU series Virus of Hate, reporting on anti-Asian racism in the age of COVID-19. This series is supported by the Graustein Memorial Fund.